Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Since 2004, Steve Speck has been the head football coach at Xavier High School in Cincinnati, Ohio. With three state championships, an NFL High School Coach of the Year award, and a 143-57 record on his resume, Coach Speck has invested heavily into his football program. On USA Football's Inside the Program series, Coach Speck gives back to other coaches by sharing his experiences during his time at St. X. Hear how Coach Speck undergoes the process of sharing his vision, rejuvenating his program, and assembling a coaching staff on this episode of Inside the Program. Let's kick it over to Coach Speck.
It's a collective we. It can't be there's the administration and then there's a football program. It has to be, no, this is St. Xavier High School's football program. Just to give you a couple quick examples, first day, I called my principal, Terry. He texted me, he said, what time do you start? And I texted him back, he said, we are on the field at 7:15. Would you come out and talk to the kids? And he said, absolutely. 7 a.m., who's standing on the sideline? The principal of the school. Terry's not a football guy. He's a basketball guy, he's a golfer, but he knows how important football is to the culture of St. Xavier High School, but more important, how important it is to his kids. This is his school, these are his kids, and I've always said to him, look, these are not my guys, this is your school, these are your kids. It's my program, but it's your school. So he came out and he talked to the kids at the beginning of the practice. It wasn't my voice they were hearing, it was the principal of school. Who do I see out at practice 2 days later? Father Howe's out there, the president of the school, he's just walking around watching practice. We break, he's there. At the end of every Friday night, who's giving the final prayer? Father Howe. Who's breaking the kids? Father Howe. Who's on the sideline? Principal Tyrrell. It's not an adversarial relationship because we're in it together. And I think the buy-in has to be across the board. In a clinic talk, I'll have a pyramid. And the perception of team, at the very top, at the point of that pyramid, they're watching their son. A little bit further down, you have position coaches. A little bit further down, you have the coordinators. And at the bottom, you have the head coach, the strength coach, and the alumni. That's the perception of team. You have to flip it around, and everybody has to see team first. And we talk to the parents, you've got to celebrate the play and not the player. And that's what we've built here. We're celebrating St. X's community, not the football program, the community.
The one thing St. X does, we had a capital campaign years ago. We built the stadium, the locker room, the field house. And what they solicited from us was ideas. This is the plan, what do you need? And we're going through and we're talking about this, talking about that. I'll never forget, we go into the locker room to look at it after it was finished. We had this beautiful complex and looking around, I heard, where are the showers? You know, any showers? And it was just, I thought, oh my gosh. So what we did was converted the locker room into a weight room until we built the new wellness center. And then they went ahead and plumbed in some showers as well. So I guess my point being is we should have had somebody else walking around looking and telling them what we needed. It comes back to the collective process. The board makes a decision on how we're going to move forward with the capital campaign. They're going to bring in architects. The architects are going to walk around with us. We had input in what we wanted and what we needed and what they liked. And again, that's how you succeed. When I was hired, the staff I had was inherited. So I had great guys. I felt that that was my baby. That was my staff. And they're all still here. I had to replace a linebackers coach, and I replaced him with our receivers coach, Tim McDonald, who does a tremendous job with the defense, and now he's a coordinator. You look for guys you can trust and guys that are going to be loyal to you. I've never been a big advocate of football knowledge. I can get a guy on a board and he can wow me with the knowledge of his games, but can he impart that to kids? Is he good for kids? Tell me about yourself. What do you love? What are your passions? What are your hobbies? Tell me about, you know, your family. Where are you from? I want to get to know the coach first. You can't just go into the interview, again, with X's and O's. I'm not worried about your knowledge. Are you mission-centered? Do you have a goal? How are you going to make kids better? I've had coaches that just look at me. I ask that question, is they're interviewing, and they just look at me funny. Could you rephrase the question, coach? I don't know how to rephrase that. You're going to be working with kids. How do you make them better? The first thing I'm going to hear is, oh, well, I'm going to work, if we're going to work on our long stick technique, I'm going to... I didn't ask how you're going to make them better football players. How are you going to make the kids better? That's what I want to worry about. So it's formation. What are we trying to form in these kids? When they leave here, what do we want to... We want to see that they've grown in their faith. We want to see that they've grown academically. We want to see that they've grown spiritually. How can you add value to my program? And it has to be through a mission-centered guy. That's what I'm worried about. Because all those other questions, if I feel he's mission-centered, the interview's over at that point. I'm going to go on and have him get on the board, and we're going to talk X's and O's, and I'm going to ask him, all right, you're going to install. How are you going to end? That's all football related. He'd already been hired by that point because I can teach him the football stuff. If he can't get past the mission, I'm not even going to get into the football stuff. And I've had guys that have followed up with me after, and, you know, coach, we never really talked football, didn't need to. And I'll be honest with them, this is my concern for you. I didn't get the feel that you were centered on kids. I got the feel you were centered on football. And for me, that's a big piece of the puzzle, because you know, and I know, and every kid out there plays hard for the coach that he knows loves him. You know, this year I had a push. We're getting a little long in the tooth. We've been together a long time. My staff does a tremendous job across the board. But we were getting a little bit older, so my focus was youth. And now it's a slippery slope. You're trying to find young coaches that can relate to kids, but can relate to kids in a positive way. There's that invisible line. You got to be the coach. You've got to be a disciplinarian. You got to love them up when they need it, and you got to get on them when they need it. If I know they're good for kids, are they willing to learn? Do they want to get better? Every year, I think I try to get a little dumber in the offseason so I learn something new. Because you know as well as I do, you don't stay up on this game, you don't study this game, it kicks your butt. So I'm looking for young guys that don't know it all. And I've been on a lot of interviews where guys come off, oh, and they know it all, and right away that's a sign to me. He's not flexible, he's not willing to learn. I'm setting my ways in some things. You know, that's the other thing about being a head coach. When I coached for Steve, he'd make decisions, and I'd look at him and say, boy, that was the dumbest decision. Why are we doing this? And then it would work. You know, and now I'm making decisions because it's who I am. Steve made decisions because that's who he was. This is what I do. You might not like what I do, but this is who I am, and I make those decisions too. And I know my coaching staff looks at me and goes, well, why are we doing that? Because this is who I am. This is what I believe in. I'm hiring him to teach social studies, to teach English, and oh, by the way, he can teach football as well. And we can talk about the classroom without walls. They're teaching every day. Kids gotta learn more in football. They need to have a focus in the off season. I want you to focus on gadget plays. I want you to go around, go to as many clinics, call coaches. You need to get in somewhere. Let's try to put together the best gadget package we can. That's your focus. So you can give everybody a specific focus on things that can help your program. Obviously, you don't want to send them out. I want you to study the 4-3. We're not going to run the 4-3. You know, we're an odd stack team. So I might say I want to focus on 3-4 teams because that's a nickel thing we run. Here's your job. I want to look at two deep fire zones. Who's running two deep fire zones, and let's go out and study it. And then you bring back your information and let's see if it fits. I always tell the guys, you might throw a million things at that wall. If one of them sticks, be happy. Maybe 10 of them stick. Everybody has to have a purpose. What's a purpose in life? To make it better. We should leave it better than we found it. So when you leave that clinic, you should have information that was purposeful. Not just, oh, coach, I listened to the quarterback coach from wherever, I listened to a running back coach. I don't want you going to a million guys. I want you to have a purpose when you go. And I don't care if it's, shoot, my motion package I got from a youth coach. Football's, we copy things from great people. And that's what I try to do with my staff in the off season, is go, here's your focus, here's your purpose, go find stuff that can help us, bring it back. If I'm speaking to a young coach and I'm talking about what's hard about the job, you have to make tough decisions. Nobody likes conflict. I don't care what anybody says in this. Nobody likes conflict. Some people are better at dealing with it than others. As a head football coach, you better be good at dealing with conflict because there's daily conflict. And one of the hardest things I've had to deal with was letting a coach go that had been with me for 18 years. It was just time. I'd like to think that my staff knows when you don't have the passion for this job, you make the decision. Don't make me make the decision for you. And unfortunately, I've had to make those decisions from time to time, and it's not easy. That's hard, but you better be prepared for it because it's not just the parents that you're gonna be dealing with. You're gonna be dealing with coaching staff as well. And we have to make tough decisions on kids, but we get that. It's the peripheral things that I wasn't ready for until I was in the hot seat. And I just had one of my staff members took a head coaching job, and he texted me 2 weeks after he took it, and he said, "Now I get it. Now I know what you were saying." And I had texted him, I replied, said, "Call me anytime with any questions, because I'll tell you this much, you don't know a thing," because I didn't know a thing. Well, if I have a coach that wants to be a head coach, I'm gonna do everything I can to help him. No, I'm gonna be honest. I get a call, I'm gonna be honest, pros and cons, but I'm gonna be honest with that coach as well and let him know, this is what I think, this is where you need to get better if you really wanna be a head coach. But I wanna help anybody that coaches for me pursue his dreams. I have a young guy this year, Danny Haverkamp. He's gonna be a great coach. He was my JV offensive coordinator. He's young. In the off season, he said, "You know what my goal is, coach? I wanna be a head coach. And I don't think I can be a head coach just sitting as a JV offensive coordinator. All right, here's what I have. Special teams position, you can coach the scout team offense, working with the quarterbacks and the skill guys. You're gonna self-scout us." I'm trying to help him get better to pursue his goals. And I think that's important for any head coach. That's how you build that trust with your staff. I want guys to move up. I want my coordinators to want to be head coaches because they're gonna work their tails off. I want my young coaches working their tails off because they want to be the next coordinator when that guy leaves. I don't want to go outside to find coordinators. I want to grow them. I want to develop them through my system. That's what I want. Right now, I have a few guys that are doing great jobs at some smaller schools. I have some head coaches at bigger schools that have done great jobs. And I remember my quarterback coach years ago got the head coaching job at Mason, and 2 years into it, who are we playing in the playoffs? Playing Bryan. And he did a great job, and I'm proud of that. So I think it's so much different for us than it is for a small school, because my tight ends coach, who's my run game coordinator, is in the box. I have two offensive line coaches that are on the field. So the offensive line and the tight ends are together on blocking schemes during individual during the week, so they know what the adjustments are. I don't have to worry about a receiver coach making offensive line adjustments because the offensive line coach is in the box. I'm very blessed that way. My passing game coordinator will be communicating directly with one of the wide receiver coaches. So they already know because they've been together. We've been blessed with so many coaches, but again, you have 120 plus guys. You're just managing kids. You have to have more coaches. You spend so much time with your staff during the off season, the preseason, you're together in those meeting rooms, you're talking about all these adjustments every single day. So we know if a team's giving us a steady diet of 3-4 and all of a sudden they're kicking to a bear, well, we've already been up on the board. Those guys have worked together on how we're gonna adjust the board, so it should be second nature. Guys, hey, this is no big deal. Remember, we're getting a bear front, so we're gonna block down here and we can't pull because, and then you go through. Those guys should be on the same page, and if they're not on the same page, then I shouldn't have a job. You know, that's the job of the head coach, is to manage your staff. Then the quarterbacks will know, they'll tell me, "Hey coach, we're probably gonna need to move to this." Exactly. Good, you're right on the same page with me. We're probably gonna do that on the next 3rd and 6. And hopefully you don't have to go to that second one. I keep telling, hey, if we run inside zone, we run lead, and we gash them for 6, guess what the next call's gonna be? Lead, and we gash them for 7. Guess what we're gonna, I said, I'll run the same play 20 times in a row until you stop it. And then that means at the end of the game, oh my gosh, I haven't used this 3rd and long call, this 3rd and long, they haven't seen it, so we can use something different. If my offensive line coach comes to me and says, "Coach, run weak side lead." Why? I said, because that's all every one of them keeps saying. This guy, maybe they had a sub in.
we got to run at him. So let's go ahead in formation so we get him. Just keep, so I'm going to do that. And majority of the time, we'll run it and gash him. Next call, same thing. Next call, same thing until they adjust what they adjust with. Okay, here's what they're doing. What's good against it? So Dave up in the box, hey, they did what we thought they'd do. They kicked to a weak eagle. Let's go ahead and run this. Perfect. Now we're on the same play. For a quarterback, I don't want to know, are we seeing the same things? I want to know, what do you see? Because it doesn't matter what I'm seeing. If you're not seeing the same thing, we're never going to be on the same page. Now, what I don't like is hearing the offensive line coach say, they say keep running the ball. Keep running. They're going to kick their tail. Well, then we go and they get stuffed and we're not getting any movement. Well, don't tell me here we should run the ball because you think that's what I want to hear. You know, be honest with me. Coach, he's 310 pounds. He's a load. I can't move him. All right, we'll tweak now to help you. You're fighting your tail off. You're 240 pounds. He's 310. I get it. But hopefully we were smart enough during the week to figure out we weren't going to be running that anyway. You got to let the kids be involved. They're investing in this too. They're the ones that have to go out and do it. I want to hear what they like and what they don't like. If I just said it's my way, so we're running it because I'm a dumb coach. I just don't think that works. We had a fourth and one. And we were going to go for it. And I had already made a decision. I said, look, we're going to go for it. Called a timeout, brought them over. And I'm looking in the lineman's eyes. And I said, what do you guys like? And they Hall said, well, power. Let's run power. But I could see it in their eyes. I was like, we're not. They're all saying it. But I could see it. So we went play action pass and got a first down. And I told them later, I said, you guys weren't comfortable with it. And one of my captains looked at me and said, yeah, I know. Tell me. I'm not going to look at you and say, you know, you're a bunch of sissies or whatever. I want to honestly, what do you like here? Well, coach, you know, they're going to go. They're going to bring and put nine in a box. And they're going to root here. And then it's tough. That's hard. That's what I want to hear. So let's go play action pass. There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's one of two things you're going to get from a timeout. You're going to get kids coming over adamant about run this. They know. If I get kids doing that, I'm running it. I'm not questioning 1 second because two things now. I'm making the call, but they're making the call as well. They know I trust them. Now we better get it. And now, you know, when they do that, normally you're going to get that first down. Or the second rule of thumb is the kids are going to come over and you're going to look at them and say, what do you guys like? And if you have to ask them what they like, you better make the call. You better make a decision on what it is you like that they hopefully will execute. So those are the two schools of thought. But I always ask kids, if they come over, I'm going to ask them what they like, especially my quarterback. My quarterback very seldom will come over and say, run this. The lineman will say, run this. My quarterback will come over and I'll say, what do you like? And he's always honest in a passing perspective. This is what I'm really seeing well. And that's all I care about is a passing game with him. I'm not worried about the run game. But he'll tell you, and I'm going to go to one of his strengths or weaknesses. Or I'll say to him, we haven't run Razor. What do you think? Hey, that'll work because I'll get to see the same front side concept, the same front side read that I've had all game. So I want him invested in the calls, but I also want him invested in the game plan.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out all we're doing on Twitter at FBDEV Coach. Follow me on Twitter at Coach K Grabowski and check out our systems for tackling, blocking, and defeating blocks at footballdevelopment.com.